And we're holding on Ayn Dalet Omid Bey, the second to last of the narrow lines, so seven lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about that the Mishnah, the phrasing of the Mishnah that mentions that when a person stole, and you have two Adim for that, and then we said you have that he shechted or sold the animal, and there was one aid, or that he himself admitted, so we said he doesn't pay the tashlama above Hamisha. So we asked, what's the chiddush? Of course, if he has only one aid, you can't make him pay anything. And the answer is that even what we mean is, if there's one aid, conceivably a second aid could come later and be machayev him. Therefore, the implication is the same thing. When he's murder, later on, Adim, could come and be machayev him, and therefore that would show, so the wording of the Mishnah then supports what Shmuel says, that murder b'knasva hakach bo Adim, chayev, that if a person admits to a knas, whereas we know if he admits, then he's potter from paying the knas, but then later on, Adim came and said that he is in fact chayev in that knas, he will be chayev because now you have Adim, even though to begin with he was murder. Whereas Rav, who said disagrees, or we said Rav Huna, says in the name of Rav and disagrees. So what we're saying is that the wording of the Mishnah fits better according to Shmuel, that says that he would be chayev in that case. So it's not a contradiction on Rav, because it's only an implication, but nevertheless the wording of the Mishnah fits better not according to Rav's opinion, but rather Shmuel's. So now the Gemara says Gufa, let's get back into that. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav. That Rav Huna says the Rav that if a person admitted to something that would make him chayiv a knas, and later on Adim came and said he is in fact chayiv in that knas, then he will be potter. Now, by the way, further on the Gemara is going to quote that same statement in the name of Rav directly without Rav Huna. So an interesting point is why here does the Gemara find it necessary to quote it in the name of Rav Huna? The Teres Chaim makes a point. He says because later on, you could be talking about where he admitted the whole thing, and then Rav would say that. You wouldn't know that Rav is talking about even in a case where he's only mowed down part of the thing. So now we need to quote in the name of Rav Huna that says that it works the same way with that as well. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Eisver of Chistel Rav Huna. So Rav Chistel says to Rav Huna, I have a contradiction to you. So you're telling me then, in short, that when a person is moedib knas and then Adim come, then he's going to be potter. So we have a story though. Maisa ben Ramgamliel shesima es ein tovi avdo. It happened that Ramgamliel blinded the eye of a slave tovi. Now this is the famous tovi that we have in many places in Shas, that he was a kosher and he was a talmid chacham and so on and so forth. So now Ramgamliel had blinded his eye. Now how had he done that? We actually back in Kedushin, we learned a machlokas about whether it has to be that the master had any intention to do anything to the eye when he injured it, or would it be that only if, for example, if let's say he was treating his eye and then accidentally blinded it, then the slave would go free, but not if he had no intention of doing anything at all, like his hand slipped or something. So we might have to say over here that Ram Gamliel was in fact trying to treat Otavi's eye, or we could say that Ramgamliel holds, according to the opinion, that says that even if he didn't mean to, the Chachamim who said that, say, different than Rav Shimon Gamliel, would say that he's chayiv even if he didn't intend to do anything at all, so again, you have a few possibilities over here. Anyway, so that was what happened. V'hoya sameach simcha gdola. Rav Gamliel was very happy because Tovi is an Eved kosher, he's a Talmid Chacham. Now he has a chance to free him. Like this, up until this point, he couldn't free him because he would be over on a mitzvah esser. Now he has a chance to. Up yalocha. Motzev Rav Yeshua. So Rav Gamliel finds Rav Yeshua. Omalei iati yadeh shetovi avi yetz v'cheirus. So he tells him, don't you know, have you heard the good news? My slave Tovi is going free. Omalei lama. So Rav Yeshua asks him why. Amalai, so Ramgamliel answers him, Shisimis yes enoi, because I put out his eye. And now I'm able to fulfill what the Torah says, that if I put out his eye, again, depending on the different details of how exactly it happened, then he gets to go free. Amalai, but Rabbi Yeshua tells him, Ein bedvaracha klum, what you're saying doesn't count for anything. Shekvar ein loy edim, because you don't have edim, or shekvar ein locha edim, as Rashi's girsa, you don't have any edim that have happened, and without edim, nothing happens. Which, by the way, now you could still say, so what? Wouldn't he be able to? Wouldn't he be able to go voluntarily free Toby anyway? So Agoris Hagura points out over here from a Yerushalmi that says that, and says the Rashba brings the same idea that you see from that when a person is potter from when a person is potter because of Moedib Knas, then we don't say even that he still needs to be Lotus Yidei Shamayim in order to be Yotze, what Hashem would want from him, then he should do it. We see that in this case that's not the case. There are some Mephoshim who say maybe that would only apply to freeing an Eved, because there is a certain detriment in freeing an Eved after all, because you're making it that now he's also to marry a Shifcha. Maybe it wouldn't apply to other cases of Moedib Knas, but the Yerushalmi says in as a blanket statement that the Rashba brings it in other examples as well, in other halachas as well, that yes, it would apply to other kinds of Knossos as well. Anyway, so what is Rabbi Yeshua telling him? Because you have no Edim. Now the implication seems to be Hayashla Edim Chayev. So it sounds like if there were Edim, he'd be Chayev. So it comes out then that if he's Moedib Knas and then Edim come, he would in fact be Chayev, because that's what we're saying. He would be Chayev, and the only reason he's Potter is because there were no Edim. So doesn't that prove, so Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, so doesn't that prove that Moedib Knas v'achapach bo Edim you'd be Chayev, not like you and your Rebbe Rav are saying? So Rav Huna answers him, Shani Rav Gamliel, Deloy B'chnei Beis Din Oidi. The difference is, because Rav Gamliel was not Moida in front of a Beis Din. So I'm going to ask for Rabbi Yeshua Av Beis Din, however. What do you mean? Rabbi Yeshua was the Av Beis Din. Rav Gamliel was the Nasi. Rabbi Yeshua was the Av Beis Din. So then in that case, don't we have over here that it was in fact in play, that it was in fact in the presence of a Beis Din? And the answer is fine, but Shaloi Beis Din have a Kodi. Fine, but Rav Gamliel was not, Rabbi Yeshua rather, was not standing or sitting in the Beis Din shtibel, meaning maybe it doesn't have to be a Beis Din shtibel per se, but in other words, it wasn't, Rashi goes on to say, it wasn't a mokum yeshivas Beis Din. It wasn't a place where Beis Din has decided to convene. It was rather, it was out in the street, and therefore, so that kind of thing doesn't count as a hodah in front of Beis Din. In fact, the Magen Mishnah points out that anyway, you need three Dayanim. The Gemara is not mentioning that point because not necessarily was Rabbi Yeshua alone. Maybe you do have other Talmid Chachamim with him who could serve as Dayanim as well. But the fact is that it wasn't in a place where Beis Din means to convene. In fact, the Ur Zeruah says on it, and bringing in halacha, where this is relevant in halacha, that if it was a mocking yeshivas Beis Din, if it was the actual Beis Din shtibel, then we would consider it a valid hagah, even if Beis Din was not convened over there. Or vice versa, if they're convened in a place, even if it's not their normal place, but here it was neither, Rashi makes the point it was just out in the street. Anyway, so that's not considered a hodah because it wasn't in Beis. So in that case, he was Moedib Shaloi B'chnei Beis Din. So when would we say that he's Potter when he's Moedib Knas and then Edim come would be when he was Moedib in Beis Din. That's when Rav would be saying that you would Potter him. Here, you don't have that. So it's not a proof from there. So the Gemara asks Vahatanya, what we learn in another Braisa, Omaloi in Bevaracha Klum Shekvar Hedesa. There's a different Braisa that says that Rabbi Yeshua tells him what you're saying doesn't count for anything because you already admitted and Moedib Knas Potter. Now that implies you already admitted. Now in the first Braisa, the expression was Shekvar Enloi Edim because there are not Edim. Fine, if there were to be Edim afterwards that would show up, then in fact we would be Machayev you to free him. But now the second braisa is saying there were no Edim, you already admitted, meaning in other words, it's too late, even if Edim come. So then in that case, my lav tanoim. So then in that case, it would come out, machlokas Rav and Shmuel would be machlokas tanoim. Hai tana de omer shekvar ein lecha Edim, the first braisa that said, you don't have any Edim, implying, but if Edim come later on, then yes, you will be able to free Toby on the basis of that. That tana would hold, Sava Moedib Knas v'achakach bo Edim Chayev. He would hold that even though he was Moedib Knas, later on Edim come, he's Chayev, and that would be, according to Shmuel's opinion, that he's Chayev. Bahai Tana, the second Tana, the Omar Shekvar Hedei, so the second one who says you were already Moida, implying even if Edim come afterwards, you still won't be able to free him. Sava Moedib Knas v'achakach bo Edim Potter. Well, then evidently he holds that once he's Moedib Knas, even if Edim come later, then he's going to be Potter, which would be like Rav. So if we say that, then it comes out that Rav has a Braisa to follow. And the answer is loy, not necessarily. In fact, both brises might hold like Rav that he is potter. Over hakamitzvigi, the machlokas rather would be like this: high tana de amash kvar ein laedim sav chutzla beis tenava. So the tana who says you don't have edim, meaning which implies, in other words, but if there were edim, then you would have been chayev. That's that tana holds that the scenario was chutzla beis tenava. It was outside beis ten, and therefore he's saying your hoydah doesn't count for anything, because there were no edim. So even if edim come later, there's still, it's too late. It's too late for hoydah, like Rav's opinion. Whereas the second one who uses the expression "you were already moida," implying and it's too late, Sava, he holds the Beis Din Hava. He holds it was actually Rabbi Yeshua was in the Beis Din in the Beis Din Shtibel, or the Beis Din building at the time. And it would have been so, and it was a valid Hadar, and therefore when Edom come later, he's potter. So they're not really arguing about the basic point that either way, if Edom come later on, he's potter. They're just arguing about where did it actually take place within Beis Din, where even Rav would agree that doesn't count. And with outside of Beis Din, where even Rav would agree that doesn't count as a Hadar, versus in Beis Din, where Rav is then saying it counts as a Hadar, and then even if Edom come later, he's potter. Okay, so the Gemara says itmar. So now, in fact, we have a machlokas on this point. Moedib knas v'achakach bo edim. Exactly that case. When a person admits that he's chayev knas, and you have any number of knosses, you have tashlum kefal and tashlum abad hamisha of our perek, you have onus in the fater, you have the 30 that you have to pay if your shur kills an eved, you have all kinds of different cases involving knosses where a person admits. So we know that if he's moedib knas, then he's potter. We know that because the Torah says, "Asher yashiyun alekim," the one whom the dayanim declare to be a rosha, who declare him to be guilty, then he has to pay the kefil and fine, but not marshia satsma, not where he's making himself a rosha by saying that he himself is the one who's chayev in that knas. So we know that, but what happens? V'achafach bo edim. And then Edom come, Rav Amma Potter, Shmuel Amma Chayev, then Rav would say he's Potter from paying the Knas, even though Edom came afterwards, Shmuel says that he's Chayev. There is actually the Ksois mentions and brings a number of proofs that actually that would only if he was Moedah in Beis Din and then Edom came to that same Beis Din. The Ksois learns that if Edom came to a different Beis Din, then actually he would still have to, he has to pay the Knas. And there's different other opinions about it. The Ksois brings an earlier post called the Truma Sakri, who explains that no, it's not like that. Even once he admitted in one Beis Din, then even if the Edom come to another Beis Din, they can't be Mechayavim. So it's a discussion of Achronim about the exact parameters of that. But whatever the case, in any case, according to Rav, if Edom came, assuming in that same Beis Din, according to the Ksois, or two different Bati, or even a different Beis Din, according to the Truma Sakri, then he would be Potter. Shmuel would say that he's Chayav because after all, Edom came. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav about Ahilai, my time at the Rav. Why does Rav hold that he's potter? After all, Edom came. Why should he be potter from paying? So because Rav says, the Pasuk says, we have the Pasuk that talks about a ganav paying kefil, and we quoted earlier in the parak, we quoted a darshan of this Pasuk at great length, and the expression in the Pasuk was, im hi motzei tzimotzei, if the gneva is found, finding it is fine in his hand. So we learned this actually earlier in the parak when we were analyzing this pasuk. So the pasuk says im hi motzei tzimotzei. So the double expression means im hi motzei be'edim tzimotzei dayanim. Hi motzei means that it's found by edim, or tzimotzei be'dayan tzimotzei. Then so it's both. Hi motzei, it was found by edim, and therefore timotzei the dayanin, then the dayanin will find him guilty and make him pay the kefil. Prakam arshiyah esatzma. From here we learn that not if he makes himself guilty by saying that he's chayev the kefil. Now you have to ask, lomali. Now you have to consider, why do we need that pasuk darshan? May asher yashiyun nafka. We already learned it from the pasuk that says asher yashiyun alekin. The one whom the dayanin declare guilty is the one who's going to have to pay. Is the one who's going to have to pay kefil. So we already know that only when the dayanim found him guilty does he pay kefil, and not if he admitted by himself. So why do we need the pasuk im hi motzei tzimotzei to teach us the same thing? Ella shma mina, from here we see moedib knas v'achafach bo edim potter, that if moedib knas and then edim come, then he will in fact that he will in fact be potter. So we have two different psukim. One teaches us the basic fact that moedib knas potter, and the other pasuk teaches us that even if he's moedib knas and later on edim come, then he's still going to be potter. So we learned back on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, we had a whole discussion about exactly how we learn the various psukim over there, which ones are talking about the ganav, which one is talking about toyin tainas ganav. So we brought this in connection over there and mentioned that we have Rava Bar Ahilai giving this drasha to explain that, but we said others would learn these words in Himatze Tzimatze to learn differently, to teach us that the Ganav himself is Chayav Tashlumei Kefel. In any case, so that would be how Rav learned that he's Potter when he was Moedib Knas, even though later on Edom came. And again, within that, not only do you have the machlokas that we said before, the ketzoris and the truma sakri, about what happens if the edim come to a different base din, but you also have different achronim that discuss what's the logical basis behind Rav's shitta. You have the Rogachov and the Ur Sameach explain that Rav would hold that just the fact that he was moedah patters, so then already, so he's potter already, and that's that. You can't be mechayev him then afterwards. And then you have, on the other hand, Rissa Zalman, the Evan Ozel explains that just the opposite. The Torah is penalizing the person only if he doesn't admit. Once he admits, then the Torah takes away the penalty. Anyway, so that's all according to Rav. Or Shmuel, Amalach, where Shmuel is going to answer you, Ahumi Boyle, Laganav Atzma, as we learned there on some of Dalet Amud Beis, the words Himatze Tzimatze are meant to teach us that the Ganav himself, not just the Chayav Kefel for anything that he stole, even though we discussed there, that on the face of it, you have the Psukim only mentioning certain kinds of things that he stole, that maybe he'd be Chayav Kefel for, we said that no, ultimately we learned from those words, Himatze Tzimatze, that he's Chayav Kefel for everything, so therefore you can't now use them for a different direction. So the Gemara says, Eisve Rav l'Shmuel. So Rav says to Shmuel, I have a contradiction on you from a Braisa. Now, actually, what we're going to bring now as a Braisa, the beginning of it is actually a Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos. But the end of it is when we bring the opinion of Rav Shimon, of Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, that's going to be only in a Braisa, which is why the Gemara is bringing it as a Braisa. Anyway. Suppose that a person is being, you have a case going on, Din Torah going on in Beis Din. Reuven is accusing Shimon of having stolen from him and of shechting his animal. And raw edim shemamash mashemaboyim. Suppose that Shimon, who's being accused of being a ganav, he sees that edim are coming close. He sees out the window that the edim are on their way, and he figures, you know what, I better quickly be moda before I'm chayev. But Omer Gonavti, and he says, yes, I did steal the animal. Avaloi tavakti v'lo macharti, but I didn't shech the animal or I didn't sell it. Einim ashalom al keren, and he pays only keren because moedah b'knas. Now, even though he's only being moedah only because he sees the edim coming. And again, even if the edim were to come and say that he did shech the animal, that wouldn't help anything, because once he's potter from kefel, then he can't be chayev b'shlum abav hamisha, because again, then the effect of it would be that he's chayev three times for sure and two times for a sheep, because four or five minus two, and you don't do that. The Torah says you chayev four or five, not three or four, or nine, and not two or three. So therefore, so once he's potter from the kefel, then he would be potter from so he'd be paying the keren. Then if we were to say the edim make him pay an additional three times for an ox or two times for a sheep, he'd be paying altogether three times the value for a sheep, four for an ox, and that's not how it works. The Torah says four or five times, not three or four. So therefore, he's potter from the tashlum abav hamisha altogether, even though he's only being moedah because he sees the edim on their way. So therefore, according to you, Shmuel, what would it help him? He'd still, as soon as the Edom come, they're going to testify that he stole it and that he shechted it, etc., and he's still going to be chayev again. According to me, that I say, Modi B'knas, Achakach Bo Edom, he's potter, well then good, he's actually accomplished. He's potter himself by being Modi before they showed up. So Shmuel answers, "Amahok ma'askin can shechazu edim acharei." The case in the Braisa is where the edim turned around and never ended up coming to give edus at all. So, uh, So exactly that, in other words. So like this, in other words, the Ravid points out, and the Rashba brings, that we're talking about, they never came to testify about the Geneva, but we do in fact have Edim about the Tvicho Mechira, and we still say he's Potter. Obviously, if nobody showed up to testify about anything, then obviously we don't have a case of it. So we mean that Edim came to testify about the Tvicha, but the point is the Edim that he was afraid are about to come and testify that he stole, and therefore he tried to, and therefore he forestalled it by being murdered. We're talking about that those Edim in fact never showed up. So therefore there's no Edus on the Gneva. So that would be the case when we're saying that he's paying only the Keren and the Chiddush is, even though the Edim later on come and say, that he's chayiv for the Tvicha and Mechira. Nevertheless, we can't be machayiv for that without Edim on the Gneva. Or because we only have his hojah on the Gneva, and again murdered Knas Potter, so therefore it would come out if we were to accept the second the new group of Edim, we would have he's paying three times for a sheep or four for an ox, one the Keren, and then two extra times or three extra times for shechting or selling it, and that's not how it works. So Shmuel says that's what we're talking about, where the Edim never actually came into the Beis Din to testify. If they came in, then in fact he would in fact be fired. So the Gemara asks, okay, v'homi d'tani sefer. The fact is, the Braisa continues, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon says, no, yavoyu edim v'yedu. Let the edim come and give edus and make him chayim. So the fact that they're saying that implies mitzvah the Tanakama savaloi. So that implies the Tanakama says there's no point in them coming because either way he's going to be potter once he was murdered. So then in that case, so it comes out, the Tanakama is saying once he was murdered, then he's potter from paying. Well, then in that case, so how are you Shmuel saying differently? So Shmuel answers, listen, lav ikar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon dekoy kavasi. Fine, you still see in that braisa, you have Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon agrees with me. I could be saying according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Once you have a machlokas tanoim, then I'm allowed to pick sides in it. Well, the Gemara points out, the Shmuel, Vade Tanoim. Well, according to Shmuel, then there's no question that it has to be a Machlokas Tanoim, because there's no way for Shmuel's opinion to work within the opinion of the Chachamim, because the Chachamim are implying and saying the Edim may as well not bother coming and testifying, because we're not going to accept their Edus anyhow, since he was already murdered, whereas according to Shmuel, they should listen to their Edus, because if they then testify, then he's going to be chayev. So according to Shmuel, of necessity, he's going to go only according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. L'Rav mi lema tanoihi, but do we have to say that according to Rav, it's also he's saying only according to one Tana and saying only according to the Chachamim and not according to the Rav Shimon? And the answer is Amalach Rav, I'm not the Amri, I feel a little bit of Rav Shimon. No, Rav can say my opinion would work even according to Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, because I can like the Amr Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon Hasam. You know why Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon is saying over there that he's saying after the guy was murdered, he's saying Yavoyu Edim v'Yaidu. By all means, let the Edim come and give Edus, because we want to listen to them and see whether we're going to make them chayev. The difference is Elam Shem become Moedi Machnas b'Asusa to Edim, because in that case, why is he being murdered in the first place? Is only because. Only because he's afraid of the Edim, because he sees the Edim are about to come. So you could say in that case, then Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon would say, fine, as long as he was murdered and there were no Edim, fine, we have no choice, so we have to pater him from the Knas. But as soon as but since he was only murdered out of fear of the Edim, then as soon as the Edim show up, we should listen to them. Abel Hocha, the Moida Me'atzmai, but in the case that Rav was talking about, where he was Moida on his own, without even the fear of Edim coming, Afilo Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon Moida, then even Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon would agree that if Edim come afterwards, he is in fact potter, because the fact is, to begin with, he wasn't Moida because he was afraid that Edim were coming, he was Moida completely on his own. So there is a machlokas we've shown him on the question. Well, so further on we're going to talk about. Okay, so further on we'll talk about Rav. So now next we'll talk about Rav Hamnuna's opinion, and we'll discuss further next. Okay, so far what we're saying is that a point is that Shmuel's opinion fits only with the opinion of Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, whereas Rav's opinion could fit according to either time. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. Avraham Omer Hamna Mistabra Milse de Rav. It's logical to apply Rav's din only the Oymer Ganavzi Ubo Edim Shaganav Potter. That we would say when he says I stole, and then there are Edim who come and said that he stole, then we would say, so Rav Hamna says it's logical to say that we would apply Rav's din only in that case. Shadisiv Asma the Keren, because after all, he is being Machayev himself in something. He's saying he's Chayev the Keren. He's just claiming that he's Potter from the Kapel. Avol Omer Loi Gonavdi, but if he says I didn't steal, Ubo Adam Shagonav, and Adam did come and say that he stole, so now so far he's Chayev in the Kapel. Then he says, yes, I do admit that I did shech or steal the animal, and then Adam came and said that he shechted or stole, chayev, then you would say, we would assume that Rav's statement would, that Rav would still hold that he's chayev, shade potter atma b'klum. Because, like this, he was trying to patter himself completely. Because after all, just by being moider, Rashi explains, by being moider on the tvicha, on the shechting, that wouldn't be machayev himself, because he knows moider b'knas potter. So if Adam come later on, we can be Machayev. When do we say Modib Knas, and then Adam comes Potter, is only when there's a Momon component, there's a Knas component, and he's at least, by his Hajar, is being Machayev himself in the Momon. In this case, by saying that he's Chayev in the Keren, by saying that he stole, in effect he's saying he's Chayev in the Keren, so at least he's being Machayev himself in something. So then we can say, according to Rav, that later on the Adam can't make him pay the capel. But like this, when he tried to deny the whole thing, and now he tries to get away with only being moida on the tvicha, which is not going to mean machayev him in anything, because unless Adam come on the tvicha, then he's completely potter, there's no extra payment for having shechted the animal, then Rav Hamnuna says, even Rav would agree that he would be chayev in that case. And you have a discussion among Achronim whether Rav Hamnuna's din would be across the board by any case of Modi B'Knas, or only when we're talking about over here, only about Gneva and Tvicha and Mechira, maybe not necessarily other Knosses. So the Ramban holds that the same thing would apply to other Knosses, and then the Meiri says maybe yes, but then he says that there's no difference between Gneva and other Knosses as well, because after all, the Gemara is going to bring a proof over here from the story of Rav Gamliel with Tavi before, where that doesn't involve Gneva. That's a different kind of Knas. And then further the discussion about some of the ins and outs of that. What about when we said before he's afraid of the Edim, or maybe he's afraid that the same Edim that come and testify that he stole the animal are also going to testify that he shechted it. So therefore, when we say that he's admitting to that, then he might be doing it only out of fear of the Edim. Maybe that doesn't apply to other kinds of Knosses, and maybe it doesn't apply when he just voluntarily goes and admits on his own. However, Omar Rava. However, Rava says, or Hagoyes Habaksan, Omar Lei Rava. That Rava says to him, meaning Rav Hamnuna, Kipachti L'Sobid Bei Rav. Kipachti usually means I have cut off, meaning I have disproved. Sobid Bei Rav would mean the elder Tamar Chachamim of the yeshiva. So first of all, Rashi has the Girsa Omar Rava, not Omar Lei Rava, like Hagoyes Habach has, because Rashi says, we're not talking about that he said to Rav Hamnuna, where he was saying that Rava is pointing out that I have, there's a couple of different Girsois in Rashi, which makes it a little bit confusing to understand what Rashi is saying. Tosfos quotes Rashi, as saying, and Hagoyes Habach brings it, and Marshall brings that Rashi understands that what Rava is saying is, he's saying you, Rav Hamnuna, who are understanding Rav that way, you are troubling, he explains, not kipach ti, but kipach ta, you have troubled all the Chachamim of the Beis Medrash, all the Talmidim of the Beis Medrash, because you're explaining to them something which is wrong. You're giving an explanation in Rav's opinion which is incorrect. Then you have printed inside in Rashi, you have a different explanation that means that Rava is saying, I have a way of the usual meaning of kipachti, means to cut off, meaning to disprove. I have a way of disproving what Rav Hamnuna is saying. So Tosfos brings and discusses this point that the word kipach, the word kipach, kuf pei ches, usually means, throughout Shas, it literally means to cut off, and therefore it means to disprove. Where do we ever find that it means to be mitzayer, that Rashi should be explaining over here, that he, that Rava is saying that you're troubling and you're causing difficulties to all the chachmei beis hamedrash by saying an incorrect explanation. So then Tosfos brings the Rashbam's explanation, which is that Rava is saying kipach ti, I, so according to that first explanation also, the word would not be kipach ti, I have been mekapeach, but kipach ta, you have been. Again, according to Rashi, he's saying you have been mitzal, you have troubled all the chachmei beis hamedrash by giving this invalid explanation. So Tosfos then brings from the Rashbam, which again is printed in the Pnim of Rashi by us, that says that, that Rava is saying, I can find a way to disprove what Rav Hamnuna is saying. However, Tosfos has difficulty with that explanation also, because it requires a Rashbam to take out the word, lay, and instead say Omar Rava, that Rava is saying, and then why should we change the wording of the Gemara unless we have a solid proof? So rather, Tosfos explains that what it means is, And Tosfos has a few other questions on that explanation as well. So Tosfos says, no, it is in fact Omar Le'rova, and it is Kipachta. He's saying, you, Rav Hamnuna, by that you have overpowered Rav Huna. Rav Huna had said before that Rav Huna is, when we say Sovi Devei Rav, so Sovi Devei Rav, Rashi refers to a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Rav Hamnuna is that. But here Tosfos is explaining that Rav Huna, who it can also be known as Sovi Devei Rav, the elder Talmud Chacham, you have disproved him because he didn't make that distinction before. He said across the board, Modi B'Knas, V'Achata, Bo Eden Potter, and you, Rav Hamnuna, look at that, look at you. You've been able to show that there's a distinction within that which Rav Huna didn't even realize. And Tosfos goes on to discuss a little bit about that, whether that girsa can be upheld. Anyway. So again, according, so we have three different explanations. According to the first explanation in Rashi, which we don't find in the Pnim of Rashi, we find that only in Hagoyis Habach and in Marshal, Rava is saying to Rav Hamnuna, how could you say such a thing? You, or he's not saying to Rav Hamnuna, or not to Rav Hamnuna, he's just saying in general, how could you say such a thing? You're being mitzayer, you're troubling all the chachmei beis hamedrash by saying something incorrect. According to the second explanation, the Rashbam's explanation, he's saying, I have a way of disproving Rav Hamnuna. And according to Tosfos' explanation, he's saying, look at that, Rav Hamnuna, you were able to disprove and to show that Rav Hamnuna didn't make a distinction which should have been made. Anyway, the point is, after all, what was the situation with Rav Gamliel? He was going to patter himself completely because it's either, unlike with Gneva, where you have the person is moida on Gneva, then he's still going to be chayav the keren. In Rav Gamliel's case, if there had been Edim that he put out Chavi's eye, the Eved as a whole would have been free. And like this, by admitting he's pattering himself from doing anything at all. Okay, granted, he's not doing it with the intention to patter himself, but just the opposite. He was very happy about the situation, but nevertheless, the din of the din. So we see, though, there's no difference between the keren and the knas, between the mom and the knas. And yet, earlier in the Sugya, Rav Chista pointed out the contradiction to Rav Huna from that case of Rav Gamliel and said, doesn't that prove that if Edom came later on, he would be chayev? And Rav Huna did not make that distinction between when you have keren and kapel versus when you have momen versus knas versus when you have knas only. The fact that Rav Huna did not make that distinction. So again, according to Rashi, it means Rava is telling Rav Hamnuna that means that distinction is not valid. Otherwise, Rav Huna should have thought of it. According to the Rashbam, he's saying, I can disprove Rav Hamnuna based on that because Rav Huna should have thought of that. And according to Tosfos, the other way around, Rava is saying, wow, Rav Hamnuna, you were able to point out something which even Rav Huna didn't think of, which is a valid distinction. Okay. So you have Rav Hamnuna's statement. Omer Avashi, so Itmar Nami, they said also, Omer Avchi Ba'aba, Omer Avyechnan, Gonavdi, if a person says, I stole, Ubo Edom should Gonav, and then Edom came and said that he stole Potter, then he'll be Potter from Kapel, Charechi of Atma B'Keren, because he's being Machayev himself in B'Keren, so therefore his Hoidah helps, like Rav Hamnuna, like the same distinction that Rav Hamnuna had said, to say that he's Potter from the Kapel, even if Edom come later on. On the other hand, Abel Omer like Gonav, but if he tries to say he didn't steal, Ubo Edom should Gonav, and then Edom did come and say that he stole, V'chozib Omer Tavak V'yomachauti, and then later on he says, I shefted or I stole, Ubo Edom should Gonav V'chavachamachar, and Edom came and said that he did exactly that, Chayev, then he will V'chayev, Tashlomah Abba V'chamisha, Shani Potter Asma Mikvum, because then he was trying to patter himself completely, and that's not the kind of Hadar that will patter him. So then he will be Chayev the entire four or five times. He was Moida on the Tvicha Mathira, but he was Moida only after he tried to deny the Gneva and the Re'edim on the Gneva. He was trying to patter himself completely at this point from the remainder of the Tashlomah Abba V'chamisha. That doesn't work. And in fact, Omer, so Rabbi Yechanan and so Rabbi Chiba Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, is saying the exact same distinction that Rabbi Hanan. And Omer Rabbi Ashi Masnis in a Braisa Nami Deka. As a matter of fact, from both a Mishnah and a Braisa, we can prove also, if we look carefully at the wording, that we can prove what Rabbi Hanan is saying and what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. Masnisin, you know, where we see in a Mishnah, or a Mishnah, the Tanan, Gonav Apishnaim, if a person stole based on testimony of two Edim, the Tavach HaMachar Api Edechad or Api Atzmai, and then the Tavicha HaMachir was based on one aid or based on his own admission, Mishalam Tashlom HaKeifel, so we say he pays Tashlom HaKeifel, Bein Mishalam Tashlom HaBav HaMisha, and he doesn't pay the Tashlom HaBav HaMisha because there's no Edim. So, you have to ask, Lomali Tani, Gonav Apishnaim, why does it have to even mention that when he stole, there were two Edim, listen and then have to tell us that the whole concept of Hodah, that him being potter because of his Hodah, is only on the Tashlama Abab Hamisha, listening, rather like the Mishnah say, Gonav Tavach HaMachar Api Edechad, or Api Atzmai. The Mishnah could have said more straightforwardly, if he stole and shechted or sold based on one aid, or Api Atzmai, Einim Hashalom Ela HaKeren, then he would pay only the Keren. And the Mishnah does not say that, rather the Mishnah gives us a more complicated case, because, in other words, it actually explains. If the Mishnah just wanted to tell us, Modi B'Knas, Potter, the Mishnah could have just as well told us about Tashlum HaKeifel. So therefore, why didn't it mention Hodah by the first part, only by the second part? Because, so the reason is, as we said after the Mishnah, as we learned yesterday, the Mishnah wanted to point out that there's a comparison between Api Atzmai and Eid Echad, that we said if Edim come later on his Chayev, now, that wouldn't work, according to Rav, by Gneva itself, because by Gneva itself, even if Edim come later on, he will in fact be potter, because at least he was Mechayev himself in the Keren. Only when he's trying to patter himself completely, then we're going to be Mechayev him when Edim come later on, and that would fit again with Rav Hamnuna's and Rav Yochanan's distinction between whether he's trying to patter himself completely or whether at least he's admitting that he's Chayev in the Keren. So therefore, the Mishnah could not have said, once given that the Mishnah wanted to inform us the concept that you can have a case where Edim come later on and he's still Chayev, the Mishnah could not have told that to us in connection with the original, with the Gneva and the Tashlum HaKeifel, because in fact, according to Rav and according to Rav Hamnuna and according to Rav Yochanan, he would in fact be potter in that case, even if Edim come later. Only when is he going to be chayev? When Edim come later, only in the case involving Tzvicha or Mechira, which is like Rav Hamnuna had said, and like Rav Yechon had said. So therefore, so Rav Ashi says, from the way the Mishnah presented the case, we see the distinction that Rav Hamnuna and Rav Yechon are making. El Alav, so that's what it must be. Hoka Mashmalon, that's what the Mishnah wants to tell us. Gonav Apishnaim V'tovach Api Ayedechad Oy Api Atzmai Hudulim Chayim Atzmai V'keren. Only when he ganved and there were two Edim that he stole and he hadn't admitted to that. And now when it comes to the Tvicho Mechira, there was only one aid or himself. Then Hudulim Chayim Atzmai V'keren. So he's trying to patter himself from the Keren entirely because he's not trying to patter himself, but he wasn't Mechayim himself in the Keren because the only way we know he stole is because of the Edim. So that would be when we make the comparison that we said in the Gemara that we would say that Edechad and Api Atzmai are similar in the sense that Ma Api Edechad ki osi Edechad mitzarif ba'adei mechayev, when one aid comes, conceivably a second aid could come and join up with him and be chayev and be mechayev him. Alpi Atzmai Nami, then we would understand the Mishnah is making the same comparison with Alpi Atzmai. Also, he also Edim Chayev only when Edim, once Edim comes, he's Chayev. And in other words, so first at the beginning of the Gemara, we had thought that proves that therefore the wording of the Mishnah fits better according to Shmuel, who says Moed b'knas v'achapach bo edim chayev, rather than according to Rav, who says that he's potter. But now we're saying we don't need that. The Mishnah itself, by presenting this case involving him admitting and involving edim only in connection with Tzvicha Mechira, that bears out Rav Hamnuna's distinction within Rav's opinion that there is a difference between whether he was Machayev himself in the Keren or whether he was not. In the case where he was Machayev himself in the Keren, namely, in other words, where to begin with he admitted to the Gneva before Edom came, then Edom are not going to be Machayev him in the Kepel. But if he had denied the Gneva, and the only way we know of the Gneva is because of the Edom, so then he wasn't trying to pater himself, so then he was trying, and now later on he tries to deny the Tvicho Mechira, so now in effect he was trying to pater himself from everything because he never admitted to the Gneva. And now he's admitting only to the Tvicho Mechira, but we already have Edom that he's Chayev for the Kefal. Then at that point, we're going to make him pay everything, and we're not going to say that he's Moedah B'Knas V'Achapach Bo Edom, because now it's too late for him to be Moedah and avoid being found guilty and having to pay because of the Edom. So therefore, so Rav Ashi says, we see from that, so therefore we see from the Mishnah, from the way the Mishnah presents the case, that in fact it bears out Rav's opinion, and specifically Rav Hamnuna's distinction within Rav's opinion. And that's the proof from the Mishnah, says Rav Ashi. What about, we said there's also a proof from a Braisa. So the proof is, the Tanya, we learned the Braisa, we learned on Amar Aleph, Raw Edim Shem Mash Mashin Uvoyin, if the Ganav sees that Edim are on their way to Beis Din, but Omer Ganavti, and he says, I stole the animal, Avaloi Tavarti Veloi Machavti, but I didn't shecht it, and I didn't sell it, Edim Ashalim Ela Keren, so the Braisa had said, he pays only Keren. So you have to ask again, even if Edom come afterwards. So again, Lomli the Mishnah, Omer Ganavti, Avlo Tavachti, Avlo Machavti. Again, why does the Braisa have to present it in that way? Nisni, instead, the Braisa could have presented the case. He could say Oy Ganavti, Oy Tavachti, or Machavti. Either that he was Moda on one, he was Moda only on the Gneva, or he was Moda only on the Tvicha or Mechira. Ela Hakamash Malan. Obviously, therefore, that's the Braisa wants to tell us. Not so. Time of the Omer Ganavti, only if he says, I stole, who the Chiyav Atzma the Keren, where there, as Rav Nuna said, he was at least Machayev himself in the Keren, therefore his Hadar saves him from having to pay the cable, the Potter, so then he's Potter from the cable. Avo Omer Loi Ganavti, but if he said, Loi Ganavti, I didn't steal at all, or Bo Edom should Ganav, and Edom came and said that he stole, because of Omer Tavakhi or Macharti, and now he says, I did Shecht or I did steal, or Bo Edom should Tavakh or Machar, and then Edom come and say that he in fact did that, the Loi Chiyav Atzma the Keren, he wasn't even being Machayev himself in the Keren, because he was trying to get out of paying the Keren altogether. So then, Chayev, then the implication will be that he's Chayev, the entire thing, the entire Tushon Abba Hamisha, Alma, so we see from that, Hodah de Tvicha, Lav Hodah, so we see that the Hodah on the Tvicha alone, or the Mechira alone, is not enough to ponder, which is like Rav Hamnun says. Tosfos, by the way, asks, why are we calling this a Braisa? The fact is, we said the first half of this was what we just learned is actually a Mishnah in the Sefer Shavuos. On Amud Aleph, we brought it as a Braisa because we wanted to bring Rav Elazar ben Shimon's opinion, who says, Yovoyu Edim V'iduhu. But here, Rav Ashi is not even bringing that part, so why didn't he just quote it as a Mishnah? And the answer is, he says, because a Braisa is supposed to explain a Mishnah more, so from the Braisa we can derive more clearly this distinction that Rav Hamnuna is making from the way the Braisa phrases it. From the Mishnah alone, you wouldn't have a proof. Because as the Gemara is going to say soon, it might be a chiddush in and of itself that when he's chayev and when he's potter. But the Braisa, which is supposed to add to the Mishnah, then we can say it's adding a further dimension of this and teaching us this point that we were saying. All right. However, the Gemara says that's not a strong proof. Loi, not necessarily, is the Braisa telling us. I'm Amri. So they said Loi, not necessarily, is the Braisa telling us what Rav Ashi wants to derive from it. You could say he go for Kamash Malan. You could say the Braisa is telling us the very point to Kivin de Omer Ganavdi, that once he says I stole Afagav de Omer Tavachti v'Lemacharti, even if he says Loi Tavachti v'Lemacharti and Obo Edim Shetavach Umacher, and then Edim came and then that he had shechted or that he had stole Potter, then we could still say that he's Potter. My timer. Tashlume abav chamisha omer rachmana, because chamisha omer rachmana, because the Torah says he has to pay two or three, he has to pay three or four times, he has to pay four or five times Not that he pays three times or two times. And if we were to say that, he's not paying the kefil, he's only paying the tvicha, he's only paying for the tvicha and the chira, then he would be paying only three times for a sheep, or only two times for an ox. And that's not what the Torah is saying. So therefore we can understand that, that might be the chiddush of the Braisa. Not so much to talk about the matter of Moedim Knas V'Achakach Bo Edim, but rather just to tell us the basic point about that, that you should know when he's not chayev in the, when he's not chayev in the kefil, then you can't be mechayev him now. Bob Hamisha either. So that might be the chiddush that it's telling us, rather than telling us anything about this matter of Moedim Knas and all of that. So in other words, the Gemara is saying, so the Yeshiva Light said, it's not necessarily a solid proof for what Rav Hamnuna and Rav Yechon are saying. Alright, well, the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Well, should we say that it's actually Machlokas Tanoim about this point of whether if he was trying to patter himself completely, then later on Edom can be Machayev him, but if he was Machayev himself in something, then Edom cannot make him fire. Because the Braisa says, if two people are giving edus that somebody stole, and another two are saying that he's shechted or stole the animal, and the edim of the gneva ended up being edim zomimin, so then we would say that the edim, that once part of the edus is bottled, then the whole thing is bottled, because, as we've said before, if there's no gneva, then the tvicho mysteria is meaningless, because then we could say it was his own animal that he shafted. So the edim and the gneva are paying kefil, and the guy is completely bottled. What if only the edim of the tvicha were muzam, and so we still have the edus upheld that he stole it? So then, who mashalim tashlumi kefil? Then we said he pays tashlumi kefil, behein mashalim tashlumi shloisha, and they pay tashlumi shloisha. We talked about this the other day. But now the brayis continues. Mishum sumchus amru. They said in the name of sumchus, no, hein mashalim tashlumi kefil. The edim of the gneva pay the ganav the tashlumi kefil, vohu mashalim tashlumi shloisha lapar ushnayim la'ayil. He would pay three times if it was an ox, and two times if it was a sheep. The word ayil actually means a ram, but it means a ram, after all, is a grown-up sheep, so it means same kind of thing. In other words, it means a sheep. So first we have to figure out which part of the, what case is Sumchus talking about. What does Sumchus mean with what he's saying, and then we can understand whether there's a machlokas tanoim on this point of moedim knas v'achakach bo edim. So first we have to figure out aheya koi sumchus. Which part of the braisa is sumchus referring to with his statement about that the edim pay, like this, when the Tanakama had said he pays the tashlumei kefil, and sumchus is saying they pay the tashlumei kefil. So if sumchus is actually flipping around, the Tanakama had said the ganav pays the tashlumei kefil, and the edim zomimin pay the tashlumei shloisha, and sumchus is saying the other way around, he pays the kefil, they pay the, he says that they pay the tashlumei kefil, and he pays the tashlumei shloisha, what case is sumchus talking about? Ilema aresha. Is he going on the Resha where the Edig Neva were found to be Edim Zomin, and Sumchus is going to say that they have to pay Kefil and he should have to pay Tashlumei Shloisha? What do you mean? Less like Sumchus Edus Shabbatim Tzasa Batapola? Doesn't Sumchus agree with that point that once there's no Edus on the Gneva, then there's no Edus on the Tvicho or Mechira either? So obviously he can't be talking about that case. Because then there'd be no reason for anybody to be paying tashlumei shloisha. The ela seifa. Are you going to say that he's referring to the seifa, to the case where only the edik tvicha were found to be edim zemin? So then shakli kamei rabbanan who mashalim tashlumei kefil vei mashalim tashlumei shloisha. Well, then the chachamim have a very good point. Obviously, then therefore he has to pay tashlumei kefil because there's still a valid edus that he was a ganav, and they were going to pay tashlumei shloisha because they're edim zemin and they were trying to deprive him of the extra three times amount. So what case? So it doesn't seem that Sumchus's statement can refer to either part of the braisa. Elam miltach we see ikemenayu. Obviously, there must be something else that's not in the braisa that the chachamim said, to which Sumchus was responding. And therefore it is like this. Kavenda also beitre. Imagine a scenario, two Edom came and said, Va'amule Ganav. They say to the Ganav himself, they don't just bring him to Basin. They themselves come over to the Ganav and say, Ganavda, you stole. Va'amule who ain't Ganavda. And he says, yes, I stole. Vitavachio Makarti, and I shefted and I stole it. Mihu, however he says, Loib Nechem Ganavdi, you weren't around when I stole it. But I see Sadi, Vazminu, and in fact he brings Edim that declare them Edim Zim. So what are those Edim Zimmin say? The Loiva Kayo Ganav. There's the Edim Zimmin, the Edim who are Mazim men. So what happens? So again, so we have the Ganav was first confronted by Edim, and they said, you stole, which, let's say we're talking about all in Basin. So they say to him, you stole, and we were there. He says, I stole, but you weren't there. I even have Edom that you weren't there. And he brings those Edom, and therefore that makes the first set Edom's own. Now, so therefore, Ba'isi Sadi Ba'azminu, he brought Edom and was Mazim. Then, and what's the Hazama? Deloy Ba'achai Uganav. So he's saying, so far, he's saying, I didn't steal with you around. I did steal, but you were with other people. But I see Balabayas Sadi, then the owner of the animal goes and brings Edim, but Asidu Beid Gonav Tavahomachar, they give Edos that not only he stole, but also he shechted and or sold the animal, over Hidah. So now the case would be, so now we have a Hidah, he himself admitted that he gambled, but he stole, but he never admitted that he was Teveach HaMoich. So now we can say, now we can understand the Chachamim versus Sumchus are talking about the Machlokas of what do we say as far as that Hadar of the Gneva, does it also affect the Tvich or Mechid? The Rabbanan Sadi, Afagab that the Hadar, the Gneva, Machas Edim Hu Dikamoida, even though the only reason he admitted because of the Gneva was because there were Edim there, and he wasn't sure is he going to be able to bring his Edim who are going to be Mazim them, so maybe he only admitted out of fear of the Edim, like he said on Amar Aleph. Nevertheless, when it comes to him admitting that, if he admits about the tvicha, that they would say that is a valid hadar because that wasn't because of Edim or Potter. Therefore, he's going to be Potter even though he was trying to Potter himself from everything. So even though to begin with he was trying to claim that nothing can happen at all. So again, you can talk about when he was moida to begin with was only because of fear of the Edim. Is that counted as a valid hadar or not? The Chachamim would say his first hadar was only because of the Edim. It's not considered a valid hadar. He's going to have to pay. So when he finds out that these guys are Edim Zomen, they're going to have to pay a kapel to him. But he's in turn going to have to turn around and pay that kapel to the Balabayas. Because after all, even though he did admit, nevertheless, we would still say there were Edim, there were Edim against him. Like the second set of Edim, that is, because they said that he not only shechted, not only stole, but also shechted. The Sumchus Savar, Sumchus, meanwhile, would hold, so what we would have is, so the Chachamim would hold that the Hidah for the Tvicha helps capture him from that. So he wanted to pay the Tashlum al-Bab HaMisha for that. So now, therefore, he'll be Potter. So therefore, he'll only pay Kefal, and he won't be paying Tashlum al-Bab HaMisha. So he would have to pay Kefal. However, he's not going to have to pay the Kefal out of his own pocket, because the Edim Zomimin, the ones who first came against him, are the ones who are actually going to have to pay that Kefal to him, and he's going to turn around and give it to the owner of the shirt. The rest of the Tashlum al-Bab HaMisha, he's going to be completely Potter from. So the Sumchus Sabar, meanwhile, Sumchus will hold. Since the whole admission in connection with the Gneva was only because of the Edim, the Tvicha Lab Hoydah, then therefore Sumchus says also the admission about the Tvicha is also not considered a valid Hoydah because he's trying to pasture himself completely. So therefore, Vahanach Edim Kamoy Dazminu, to the original Edim, who we were Mazim, fine, Bashan Bashlome Kefal. They have to pay him Bashlome Kefal, sure, because they were trying to deprive him of Kefal. But nevertheless, he is going to have to pay the remainder. He's going to have to pay the two or three times. So in other words, So yes, so it comes out exactly that. They're arguing on this case of Moedei B'Knas, they're arguing on this case of Moedei B'Knas, V'achatach Bo Edim, when he was trying to patter himself versus when he was not trying to patter himself completely, where it comes out therefore. So the Chachamim would hold, it doesn't matter, always we say, when he was Moedei and then Edim later on came, he's butter, and Sumchus would hold, like Rabbi Yechanan and like Rabbi Hamun. Because we would say again that the hadar of the gneva, the chachamim would say that was only because of fear of the edim, but the hadar of the tvicha was not because of the fear of the edim, and therefore we can distinguish between those two different hadars, whereas Sumchus holds that no, both neither one is considered a valid hadar, and therefore once he's chayiv and one he's chayiv in the other, so he's going to be chayiv the full five, but out of that he's getting two from the edim zim. So if we understand it that way, then again, it comes out what Rav Nuna and what Rav Yechanan are saying is only according to Sumchus. And the Chachamim, meanwhile, would be like Rav Huna's original understanding of Rav, that Moedei B'Knas V'Achachach Bo Edim is potter across the board. However, the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Acha B'Rei D'Rav Ika Loi, not necessarily is that the Machlokes. D'Kula Amo Hedah D'Tzvicha Lav Hedah. We could say that both the Chachamim and Sumchus hold that the Hedah on the Tvicha is not considered a valid Hedah, because again, like Rabbi Yechanan says, he was trying to patter himself from everything, because to begin with, he had denied everything. Ella, the Edus Shi'iyat Yochel HaZim HaKamichligi, rather than the Chalot, the Sumchus, and the Chachamim, can be on a whole different issue. When you have an Edus where it's impossible to be Mazim, do we say that an Edus has to be such that it would be possible to be, for other Edim to come and be Mazim? Now we have, for example, let's say we have Edim, for example, have to give the exact date and time and location where the thing took place in order that potentially other Edim could come and mimazim them and say Imanu Hayisim. That's a basic rule in Hilchos Edus, but here we have a reason why it's Iyat Yochel Lahazima. Because after all, the guy already admitted that he stole. So is that considered Edus Shati Yochel Lahazima? So the scenario would be that Edim confront the Ganav and Beis Din, and they say, Ganavta, you stole. He says, yes, I did steal, yes, I did shecht or sell. Mihu, loy b'fneichem ganavti, but it wasn't in your presence. El b'fnei ploini uploini, it was in front of two other people who were there. You weren't there, and I'm going to bring proof. But also, ploini uploini v'asidu bei, the Ganav v'tawach umachar. Sure enough, those ploini and ploini come and give Edus that he, in fact, did steal and shecht or sell. So now there's no hazama over here. The question is, can there be hazama over hokamifidi? Did Abbanan Sadri have your edus shafit shi'iyata yochel hazima? The second edus is an edus that's impossible to be mazim because the ganav himself admits that he did it in front of them. And they would say, v'chol edus shi'iyata yochel hazima, when you don't have a concept of that you could conceivably be mazim edus, loy havi edus. Therefore, it's not considered a valid edus, and therefore we don't have an edus over here. Therefore, he's potter. Sumchus, meanwhile, is going to hold that it doesn't matter, even if you can't be Mazim and Edus, it is a valid Edus, so therefore the second set of Edim is a valid Edus, and therefore the result of them is, so they were Mazim, the first Edim, so altogether the Ganav is paying the Tashlum HaAbav HaMisha, but out of that, two of that comes from the Edim Zomimin, the first set of Edim. So the machlokes would be about whether when you say that Edus has to be Edus she'ata yochel hazima, does it mean that in this case it's considered because he's moida that he actually did it, therefore we can't imazim the last set of Edim, or would we say that doesn't really matter and therefore it's still a valid Edus? So fundamentally, in other words, they're arguing about what the logic is behind the concept of Edus Shi'at Yochel Hazim. Now the Marashal points out in Yamshel Shloimeh, suppose he would admit after the Edim testified, then we're not going to say it's Edus Shi'at Yochel Lahazima, otherwise it would be impossible to do Edus like that anyway. And in fact, the Tumim points out in more detail, he says, listen, I mean, when they were made, it was Ruri Lahazoma, because at that point, Edim could have come in and said, Imanu Hayisim, so the fact that he's murdered later on is not going to retroactively passel that Edus. Now he does say that it is true if the Edim were to be declared Edim Zomim, And it was Roy Lazona at the time. If afterwards he's Moida, then yes, they'll be potter to pay because he was Moida, and therefore now Hazama, now it's impossible to talk about Hazama anymore. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, what do you mean? How can you say that Sumchus would hold that an Edus she after Yochla Hazima, where it's impossible to be Mazim an Edus, then it's still a valid Edus? Well, Kaim Malon, we know as a fact in Halacha, Edus she after Yochla Hazima loy have your Edus. That is, unless you're able to be Mazim the Edus, it's not a valid Edus. Which is, after all, why we have to ask them the details of the date and time and location and all. In other words, if Edom were to just come and say, we saw Reuven stealing or breaking Shabbos or killing or whatever, and they can't say the exact date and time, we could never be Mazim then, because how are other Edom going to come and say, Monu Hayisim, Mamakim Ploini, what do you mean we were with you at that time? We didn't say when this took place. We saw at a different time, which is not what you're being made on. And that sort of thing doesn't work. So we have to have an Edus Shata Yochel Azimah. How can Sumko say to me? I mean, one answer, that's the point. When the Edom, for example, don't know what day or what hour it was, so then, then you don't have an Edus at all. So in fact, there are seven basic things that the Dayanim have to ask them to establish the exact date and time and location of the thing. And if they don't know the answer to any of those, then the Edus is completely bottled because it's Edus, Shiyati Yachal Azimah. As opposed to, for example, let's say when the Dayanim ask them, for example, what color clothes, what is he wearing? If the Edim say they don't know, that's fine. That doesn't confute their Edus. But if they say that they don't know the exact day of the week or the exact day of the month or the exact time or whatever, there's a certain amount of leeway that they have, because we expect people might be off by a day. People might not know after you have 29-day months and 30-day months. People don't always know the exact time back when they told the time by the sun. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Pesachim and Sanhedrin deals with those various details. But the point is, at least it has to be. If we ask them what day of the month was it and they say we don't know, then that's it. We throw out the Edus. As opposed to if we ask them if they know what date and time and day of the week and everything it was and location, and we ask them about things, for example, what color clothes was he wearing, or what kind of weapon did he kill him with, or whatever, those kinds of things. If they say you don't know, then maybe not, then the Edus can still be valid because those don't affect the actual Edus itself. Anyway, so over here, yes, when the Edom don't know the exact date and time, then we say that's Edus Shiyat Yochel Azimah, and even Sumchus would agree that that's not a valid Edus. Aval Hocha Siyui would become Sayalai. On the contrary, here they're helping him out, because after all, he and they both agree that he stole. And Hajas Valdin Kamei Edom Dami. So therefore, so Sumchus would say that's not called Edus Shiyat Yochel Azimah, and therefore that's fine, even if he doesn't know, even if they don't know, so that would be fine. Even though he admitted, we can't call that Edus Shiyat Yochel Azimah, because that doesn't prevent anybody from being Mazim them. It's just, practically speaking, nobody can be Mazim them now because he obviously admits that he was there, but it doesn't mean that they didn't know a particular essential detail of Edus. So to finish off, one last thing with Sumchus, Omamar, we said, Hein Mesham and Tashlumite. The point is that this machloikas of Sumchus and the Chamin, therefore, has nothing necessarily to do with the machloikas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Hamnuna versus Rabbi Muna, because they were talking about the whole question of if Edom come after he was Moida, and here we're talking about an altogether different thing, where he was Moida before the Edom came. Is that enough to prevent their Edus from taking effect? So the Gemara asks, Omamar, now we said, Hey Meshamon Tashlumei Kevel, we're saying that the Edim Zomim pay Tashlumei Kevel, so now why are they paying Tashlumei Kevel? Midikam Moedim Ganav Keren Boi Shalumi, Midikam Moedim Ganav, once the guy himself admits that he stole Keren Boi Shalumi, he's the one who has to pay the Keren, so why are they paying the Keren on his behalf? And the answer is, Omer Abolozim, Meshmei Derav, Tony, Tashlum the Kepel. We have to read in Sumchus's words, not that they're paying the entire Kepel, but they're paying what's needed to make up the Kepel. Meaning, in other words, so he's paying the Keren, they're paying the Kepel, and then, since we're talking about Tzvicha Mechira, then he's in addition paying another two or three times to make up for that. So altogether, the owner of the animal is getting four or five times, but you have some of it comes from him and some of it comes from them. We don't mean that the Edom Zomim are paying the entire kefil, because even without their Edus, he would have had to pay the keren. Rather, what we mean is that they have to pay the second keren, which is to say, they pay the kefil, he pays the keren, they pay the kefil, and then according to Sumpus, he pays the rest. Okay.